Years ago, there was this thing, and for some of you, it's like, I think my grandpa went to that. There was this thing called Promise Keepers, and Promise Keepers was kind of a big thing. It was a nationwide deal. It was a worldwide deal, and you would go to stadiums, and it was a testosterone fest for Jesus. It was like stadiums full of guys, and you would go, and they would get these speakers, and really, to sum it up, it was a calling men up as far as men, as husbands, as dads, and to truly represent Christ in all of those different relationships in the marketplace. And it was pretty amazing. In fact, one that I went to actually was just a few days after 9/11, like the 9/11. And it was an amazing experience. Well, there was this particular event that I went to with some guys. It was a Promise Keepers, kind of a million-man deal in Washington, D.C. And I had just started at this church in Missouri. And I was with a group. They were mainly like elders and deacons and some other church leader guys. And I'm the new guy, right? And so we go out there, and we rode with a Baptist church. And I don't know why I point out that they're Baptist, but their bus broke down, bad Baptist bus, right when we got there. And the guys are like, it's all right, just go do your deal and then come back. And so we did and come back, and they said it'd be fixed. We got back. It was not fixed, and it was clear it was not going to be fixed anytime soon. And it was a time when my kids were really small. My wife was already a little stressed out about me going so far away. So I was thinking, I got to get home. And there were seven other guys that were part of my group. We abandoned the Baptist. We went and we rented two Dodge Intrepids. I do remember that. And then we took off. We're like, we're just going to rent some cars and go home because mama needs daddy home. So we drive. And so I actually drove all night long into the sunrise hours. And then I started like, okay, I'm starting to fall asleep. And so we pulled over and refreshed. Got back in the cars and hit the road again. And I got in the back seat right behind the driver and just conked out just like that. Well, I immediately began having a really, really vivid dream, you know, those horrible things. And I dreamed that I was driving, and I dreamed that I was falling asleep at the wheel. And in that moment, I panicked, and I grabbed what I thought was a wheel and yelled, "Oh, shoot!" But I didn't say shoot. And I grabbed the back head, and he about drove off the road. The two elders, they woke up like, what's going on? And like, they all looked at me. I'm like, oh, let's just forget that ever happened. I'm like, I'll just have my resignation writ before we get back. You're like, who is this guy that we hired? And, you know, fortunately, they were all extremely good sports. But, you know, I think one of the things that we all have in common is some of our most embarrassing moments are when words came out of our mouth, and like the moment they were out there, like, oh no, you just want to grab them out and pull them back in. And we've had those moments where we've said things and like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. And everybody just kind of looks at you. But then even more than embarrassing moments, all of us have experienced together, we share in common that some of the most destructive moments in our life relationally were around words, that something we let slip that we shouldn't have let slip. And it's like the moment the words came out of our mouth, we saw the look on the person's face that we had just said these words to, and we could tell by the look on their face that we had done damage and that it could not be erased. And we all know the futility of saying, I didn't mean it the way that it sounded, or, you know, I was just, you know, I was angry, or you just caught me off guard. You know, I remember some of those times with my wife, where there, you know, I made the mistake one time of thinking she was out of earshot, and I was really mad, and I mumbled some of the shit. What'd you say? Nothing. I said nothing, and you know, but it was too late. She heard what I said, and it did not go well from there. But we've all spoken words out of anger to people that we care about, and the reverse is true as well. We've all had words spoken to us that either in the moment made us feel very awkward or embarrassed, or maybe there were words that affected us or even devastated us. In fact, there's likely a moment in each of our lives in this room, if we think about it, there's probably a moment that each of us could share with one another that there were words said to us that maybe long ago and to this day, we still carry the wound of that moment and those words that were spoken to us. And we've all experienced this. Someone maybe said words to you that either began or either seemed to fuel or reaffirm a deep insecurity that you've had. Maybe it's about your body or your abilities or your physical appearance or your intelligence or your worth as a person. And so today is a crucial reminder from the book of James to remember that words shape everything. Words shape everything. You were raised in a home where some sort of words were used by your parents, and it shaped your sense of worth, your sense of identity, your self-esteem. For those of you that are parents, we are shaping the self-esteem of our children by the words that we speak to them and their mental and spiritual health. There were words said to you by teachers in school as you were growing up, or other students that shaped you. Your sense of competency or how good you feel at work is shaped by the words that your boss or your coworkers say to you. Then at the same time, some of our greatest joys revolve around words. Maybe it was the first time you're a dude and a girl said, you know, I think you're cute, or I think you're funny, and how that made you feel, or as a woman to have a man look at you and say, you know what, I think you're kind of beautiful. Or that first time somebody referred to you as their girlfriend or their boyfriend. Oh, you know, and then there's those times maybe you got the words, you've been accepted. You're like so excited about this new adventure that you're going to be able to go on. Or maybe there was somebody that you deeply respected, and there was that moment they looked at you and go, wow, you did a great job. Or I see something special in you. Or you have what it takes. Maybe it was the first time somebody looked in your eyes and they said those three words, I love you. Oh, and your heart just soars. Or maybe for most of you ladies, you know, from a young age, you dream of that moment. You know, it's like, I knew he loved me, and some of you experience this, but he got down at what needed, and he was terrified to just say those three words, but those were the three words that you wanted to hear. Four words. Will you marry me? I didn't take math. Or, you know, you hear those words, or, you know, your husband, you hear the words, I'm pregnant. Or for me, it was, I'm pregnant again and again. And one more time before you hear those words. It's like, you know, there's so much joy around that. We've been in the series called Faith Works, and we're studying the book of James. And one of the reasons I love the book of James is because it's just practical about living out our Christian faith. And the theme throughout this book is that faith apart from works is dead. Faith apart from works is dead. It's useless this side of heaven. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, a believer in Jesus, but you're not going to do anything with what you believe, then if you're not going to do with what you should do with your faith, you might as well not even believe. That this side of heaven, it's worthless. It's going to have no value. It's going to add no value to your life or the people that you care about. And so today is about the positive and the negative impact of what we do with our words. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at James chapter 3. We'll have the verses on the screen. We also have Bibles that we give away. We want you to have those. The YouVersion Bible app is a great app for your phone. But James chapter 3, and in verse 1, he begins in this passage talking specifically to preachers and teachers, basically individuals that do what I do, and he gives them a warning. And then he launches into this broader application, this discussion about the tongue and our words. And so he begins with this. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. He says, if you're going to be a preacher or a teacher, you're going to stand in front of people, you're going to represent God, you need to understand to an even greater degree, you're going to be held accountable for what you say. And see, like, even me saying that aloud means I should just pray and leave, because that's weighty. And to be very transparent, I'll say that this is something that weighs on me every day more than you know. Whether it's me, I'm going to meet with somebody individually, or a couple, or a family, because maybe they're seeking relationship advice, or spiritual advice, or any time I ever get up to preach, because I never, ever want to point you in the wrong direction in any way as it pertains to God or faith or Jesus. Number one, because you matter to me. And secondly, because I know that there's going to be a day where it's almost like God's taking notes and we're going to have a review someday in heaven and I'm going to be held accountable for the things that I say. So I don't take that lightly. Well, he goes on, then he talks to all of us in general, and he says, we all stumble in many ways, and we know this to be true. It's our life experience. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. He says, we all stumble in many ways, in lots of ways, in what we do, where we go. He says, but if you're able to bridle your tongue, your mouth, it literally means to be able to restrain your tongue and to control everything that you say, then essentially you have arrived. That this side of heaven, you have become about as perfect as you can possibly be on this earth. Because of all the parts of the body, he says the tongue or your mouth is the most difficult to control. And again, we all know this to be true. Because let's face it, our mouths get us in trouble over and over again. He goes on, he talks about the fact that our mouths actually control the whole course of our lives. He says in verse 3, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the entire animal. So he's saying, if you know, take a horse, no matter how large, if you can get a bit into the mouth of the horse, then you can control the feet, you can control the torso. This huge animal, you can control the whole thing if you control the mouth. Then he gives us a second illustration. Or take ships, for example. Verse 4, although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. He says, think of a ship. Think of the largest ship possible. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to fly to Hawaii and do what's called a tiger cruise with one of my sons. He was coming back from 7 months in the Persian Gulf, and he was on a guided missile cruiser, and we had been out at sea for 2 days, and I was a Navy guy as well, and then had the opportunity to actually drive the ship. This is actually a picture of me driving this guided missile cruiser. I'm just telling you, I just felt the testosterone working through my body. So, but the amazing thing is, you can see like even how small the wheel is, and I'm looking down at this digital compass that is keeping right on track, and what you can't see is outside, the entire bow of the ship is shooting into the water, shooting back out. We're going all over the place. It's like, yeah! So it was so awesome. But the amazing thing is, this ship is 10,000 tons. It's 10,000 tons and 570 feet long. And as long as I was controlling that rudder and keeping my eye on the compass, I had control of where that ship was going, regardless of what was going on. So James is saying that's our tongue. It's this very small thing that controls this huge thing. It's our life. And then you look at his conclusion in verse 5. He says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. That is that your tongue, he's talking about words specifically, like the bridle in the mouth of a horse, like a rudder on a ship, that our tongue or our words determine the course of our entire lives. And when he says it makes great boast, what he's saying is it has amazing potential. So think of it like this. Your words got you your job. Okay, your words got you a date. Our words got us our wives. Our words got us our husbands. Or my words got me my first kiss from Shauna Simpson when I looked her in the eyes, said these words, would you mind terribly if I kissed you? And she replied with the words, I thought you'd never ask. And then it happened, yes. And, men, that is dating advice. So if our words get us our cars, our words get us our friendships. Our words either make us a good or a poor communicator, whether in relationships or in the workplace. It makes you a good or a poor salesman or a negotiator. Your words may have gotten you expelled from school. Yeah, your words may have landed you in jail. Your words may have allowed you to talk your way out of a speeding ticket. And on I could go, but it's true. If you think about it, the course of our lives is determined. It's determined in great part by the words that come out of our mouths. And so James is saying, look, your career, your family, your relationships, all of it follow this. So if you can get this under control, everything will be so, so much better. And then James takes a turn. He changes analogies and he gets at the heart of what he wants us as the reader to hear. Because again, this letter is about doing our faith. And doing it in a certain way. It ties into, for example, like our vision as a community, as New Life Wichita, is to be a catalyst for spiritual and social change makers. And what he goes into is that our words affect change and direct and affect the course of other people's lives. So these words that we speak into environments and relationships has the ability, the power to determine the entire course of other people's lives. And so consequently, we walk around with potentially, as James would say, a potentially loaded weapon in our mouth. Look at verse 5. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. So in current terms, imagine what damage just one match could do. It could burn down an entire forest. A few of you are old enough. In 2002, there was this huge fire in Colorado. It was actually started by Terry Barton, who was a fire prevention employee for the Forest Service. It became known as the Hayman Fire. It burned over 138,000 acres. It destroyed 133 homes. There were 6 related deaths, and it was $40 million in damage, all because she and her husband were ticked off and having a fight. And, you know, one was saying that she was burning a letter that she had written to him, one burning a letter, but whatever. she was burned, supposedly burning a letter, and it created all this damage, all of this destruction, and all of this death. We know from our own country's history that one spark could burn down in an entire city. One match can do unbelievable damage to any environment in which that fire is out of control. And he goes on, verse 6, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the entire person and sets the whole course of his life on fire. So here's what James is saying, that at this moment that you and I, that you have the potential to turn to the person next to you and just with words begin a string of damage that could destroy them, or at the very least destroy your relationship. This morning with this microphone strapped to my face, I could say words, and just with words, not truth, but just saying the wrong kinds of words in 30 seconds, I could ruin my career in ministry forever. Inside each of you is a potential to leave here today just with words to destroy the relationship with everyone in the vehicle with you. You could go to work tomorrow, and within 20 minutes, by just saying certain words, they would drag you out and nobody would ever hire you again, just by unleashing the wrong kinds of words. I could ruin your reputation just with words, not truth, just with words. Or you could get together with four or five other people. You could ruin my reputation. See, James is saying there is not any type of evil that cannot be initiated with words. Murders have been initiated with words. Wars have been initiated with words, just by words, all kinds of destruction. He says, it sets the whole course of his life on fire, there's this visual image that his readers in the first century would have understood, because there was a tactic that if you had an adversary that you wanted to do damage to or attack, you would get a wagon, or you would get a chariot, you would oil up the wheels, and then you would light them on fire, you'd smack the horse or whatever, and then it would run. It would go through a field, or it would go through a village, it would go through a crowded street, and everywhere it went, it would just light this stream of fire and create all of this destruction. And he says, every one of us, that is the potential that we have right here within our mouths. And we know this to be true, because some of you could say, I know James is right, because as I look back, I burned down a friendship with just my words. I burned down a boyfriend or a girlfriend with just my words. I burned down a husband or a wife. I burned down an entire marriage with just my words. Or I burned down a relationship with a sibling or a parent or a family member with just my words. And I think all of us, again, what we share in common is that we can think of an individual and say, I don't want to admit it, but deep down I know in my heart I have wounded, I have burned people with some of the words that I have let come out of my mouth, including the people I love the most. And on the flip side, many of you, we could talk over coffee and you would say, you know what, I still carry the scars, I still carry the wounds of words that were said to me by somebody I cared about, somebody that I thought I could trust. And so all of us in some form or fashion, we've been burned. And if we had the ability to have the kind of eyes where we could see people's spirits and see their souls, I suspect that we would look at them and we would see in some of them just covered in burn wounds because of things that have been said to them. In fact, I suspect there have been people in our lives that we have judged for a long, long time because they seem weird or their behavior is whatever. And we look at them, but if we somehow were given the eyes to see the wounds, if we were able to actually hear their story and some of the things that were said to them growing up or said to them in their lives, we would switch from judgment to compassion. Because suddenly it would all make sense. Because all of us have experienced, and I mean, we're all weird to somebody, right? And somebody has judged us, or there was a guard that we put up in a relationship, or how we misspoke in a situation, and it actually tied to a wound in the past. But if they knew that, it would make things quite different. And the problem is that we can all be excellent excuse makers in the moment that we say something that we shouldn't, go, oh, you know, I didn't really mean it, or I was mad, or I was having a bad day, you know, I was drunk, I was just being honest, whatever it was, I got my mom's temper, or I got my dad's temper, you know, I inherited, whatever our excuse is. The bottom line is our words are a fire. And everybody in this room, me included, we have the potential to burn people down in our lives, burn down their self-esteem, burn down their sense of self-worth. And we can burn down relationships with people that we love the most, not with truth, but with just our words. So what do we do? What do we do if we don't want this to be our story? See, after painting this very vivid description of what we do to one another, then James keeps moving, and what's been done to us, verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Now, this is not going to be very encouraging, because here's what he's saying. There's no final solution to this. It just is what it is. That's awesome. He says, every animal that was a threat to human beings, like they have been contained. But unlike the animals that we've contained, put behind bars, put on preserves, put behind glass, whatever it is, the tongue is an animal that can't be tamed. It is a loaded weapon. It is potentially a flamethrower in our mouth. And that's just the way it is. Aren't you glad you came this morning? It is. He goes on, verse 9, with the tongues we praise our Lord and the Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. And here's where he's describing real life in the 21st century. It's like you've got these believers and they fill churches and they come into a church on Sunday morning and they sing the songs and say, thank you, God, and I'll never be the same. And then get in the car and say hateful things about a friend. Say hateful things about a fellow believer. Say hurtful things to a husband or a wife or their kids because they're impatient or angry. Or the next day they go into the workplace and they just verbally dish it out to their employees or their fellow employees or their boss. And we curse people who all, as James says, have been made in the image of our Heavenly Father, of God. Verse 10, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow out of the same spring? My brothers, can fig trees bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? No, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. He says it's worse than you think. There's nothing like this in nature. Olive trees produce olives. Orange trees produce oranges. Apple trees produce apples. But unlike all of these things, the tongue in nature is completely unpredictable. And you know what he does next? He just ends. He's just like his half-brother Jesus. And Jesus just kind of had this pattern, like he would throw out this big thing and then just go on to the next subject. It's like, whoa, hold on, time out, Jesus. We need some help with this. Can you explain this? He just ends. It's like, I've got this unpredictable potential flamethrower in my mouth. What do I do with this, James? And so in the larger context of Scripture, which is, again, one of the reasons why I so just want you to fall in love with the Scriptures. I mean, most of the Gospels or these epistles are not that long. I mean, this is 5 chapters. The next book, First Peter, 5 chapters. It will enrich your life. And it gives us guidance and instruction in what we know. Okay, we've got this thing in our mouth. What do we do? And then what do we do when we burn somebody? So I'll just speak to the men first for a second, because men, we're notorious for insensitive words. I mean, like, we think in boxes, right? Everything's compartmentalized. Women's minds are wires. Everything's connected. And we'll say something. We don't realize that touched into that. And we can just hurt with our words. Or we can be insensitive. And you may have a woman sitting next to you this morning, and she's praying that you're listening because she's got some burn wounds. Ladies, maybe you have a boyfriend or a husband and he's praying that you're listening because you're killing them. They drive home at the end of the day and they don't know what they're going to face or hear, because one day the orange tree is producing oranges and the next day it's Brussels sprouts. And they don't know what to expect. Parents, our children wake up in the morning or they come home from school and they don't know what to expect. Are we proud of them or are we mad at them? Did they do good or did they do bad? And it's an unpredictable environment. Children, and we're all children. Maybe your parents, maybe our parents, they're burn victims because of our words. Words that maybe we said out of anger or because we thought we were so much smarter. And there's burns because your words have burned their hearts and spirits. And here's what James seems to be doing. It's kind of like when our sons were growing up. We're still are with State Farm Insurance. It's not a commercial. I have no stock in them. But one of the things that they offer is a steer clear program. And if you do the steer clear program, you get a discount. and it's like 25% or something like that. So yeah, you're doing that. So he did it, and I actually sat and I watched it with my son. And basically, it's a series of horrific driving stories, mainly of young people. A lot of it having to do around texting and driving, but you know, where they were driving in the car and like they lost all of their friends. It's just like horrible. Now, when I was a kid, I took driver's ed at East High School. And you know, this was back when we upgraded from horse and buggies to Model Ts. The film was sometimes I feel that way. The film was Signal 30. I remember it's burned into my brain, and we watched this thing, and it was horrible. I mean, there's these horrible accidents, and there's body parts and blood, and I'll just leave it at that. And you know, when it's done, we're all just sitting there in silence, like, okay, the application of this lesson is don't drive, ever. You know, just ride a bike. You know, but why does the insurance companies, why do, you know, and drivers, you know, why do they want us to see, you know, young people to see these films? And it's because they want to just deeply implant into their thinking that, you know, driving is an awesome and wonderful thing with great potential, but with it comes great responsibility, and with it comes a potential for incredible damage and negative potential. And James says communication is a great thing. The tongue is a great thing. It can steer your life and the lives of other people into amazing places. But at the same time, it can wreak incredible havoc. Every day you carry this in your mouth, at any moment, you could wreak havoc in the lives of those around you, especially in the lives of those that you love. And just like if you start a campfire and it gets out of control and burns down a forest and homes, you're responsible. The words that you say, and just because you didn't mean it, or just because you were being honest, or just because you were angry, you're still responsible for those words once they come out. And for some of you today, and this is the application part, and again, I'm not judging you when I'm saying about what I'm about to say, because I will tell you there are moments that I said words to somebody I love, my wife, my children, my parents, even my grandparents, if that's imaginable, that to this day they maybe have long forgotten, but I remember that moment. I'm still ashamed of it. I know God's forgiven me, Jesus has forgiven me, but I remember that moment. I remember the look on their face. So I'm with you on this. This is about applying your faith. But for some of you, you need to leave here this morning, and maybe before you drive out of the parking lot today, there's a conversation you need to have, and you just need to own it. Maybe you need to turn to your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, or wife, or maybe get home and just call your husband and wife, you know, say, hey, can we go talk for a minute? And just somewhere private and say, you know what, honey, I'm sorry, no excuses, I am sorry. I was wrong. I said words and I know that they burned you. And I'm going to own that. Because, man, there's women in your life, maybe your wife, if you would just do that, it would release in her an emotional dam. An emotional dam to just hear for once that you take responsibility for the fire that you started in your relationship, the burns you've inflicted. Ladies, some of you need to do the same thing, because you can be wicked with your words and you can excuse it, say it's just the way I am, my mama was that way, Eve I'm sure was that way, be a man, buck up, you know, you ought to be able to take it. No, with all of your excuses, you will sear your husband or your boyfriend's heart and spirit, and you wonder why they won't want to rush home from work. Some of you, tomorrow in the workplace, you need to get a colleague, a coworker, maybe a boss, and just say, could I have 5 minutes and have a conversation? And yeah, maybe there was a scenario in which hard words needed to be said, but you went too far. And all of us who are children and our parents are alive, you know, now having adult children of my own, I recognize it so much better. But as kids, our words weigh heavy with our parents. Most parents are just doing their best. And most parents, when their kids are grown, quite honestly, and they go on their own, they're thinking about all the mistakes that they made as parents, the things they wish they could have done better. And they need to hear from you. So where are the fires in your life? You know, would you be willing, no excuses, to write a letter, to make a call, to have a conversation? Maybe you, and this is going to sound crazy, but maybe you have an ex somewhere, an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend or ex-husband or ex-wife. And granted, you know, she was at fault and he was at fault. Everybody's at fault but you. It doesn't matter. You said words that burned that person, did damage, to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And that creates healing. Because your tongue is a fire. but it also can bring incredible healing in the situation where there are wounds. So who is in your life that, and here's just the final piece, the flip side of it, who is it in your life, they need to hear some positive words from you today? See, some of you, there's somebody in your life and you're the one that they actually look up to the most. And maybe it's been far too long since they heard something encouraging from you, something you admire about them, something that you love about them, why they matter to you, why you love them. And if you and I would, for the rest of our life, just approach every relationship knowing that our tongue is a fire that will change everything in our families, in the office, in the workplace, in school, with our roommates and neighbors. James says, that's it. I'm just laying it out there. Just plant that in your mind. Plant that into your thoughts. Use those words, understanding your tongue is a fire. So I'm going to invite the band to come on up. And what I just want you to do, they're going to come up and lead a song. But for you to be, that person hasn't already come to mind, for you to be thinking, who is that person that either I know that I've burned them and I need to have a conversation and I need to own it, and or who is that person, they need to hear something good from me. And before the sun sets today, that you would make that happen. God, I thank you for this opportunity to come before you just as we are, because we are imperfect and fallen and fallible. And Father, we're all both guilty of wounding people with our words, and all of us, unfortunately, have been shaped sometimes in very negative ways because of words that were spoken to us, and maybe they were just lies or coming out of the insecurity of the person that said them to us, and now we carry that. So Father, I pray by the power of your Spirit and just through the example of your Son, that Father, we will humble ourselves to go and to seek healing and restoration with those that we may have hurt, and to show them love. And Father, that even if the people that aren't alive anymore that may have hurt us, that God, that through your power and your redemption, your forgiveness, that Father, you would help us to see our identity in you and not in those words and not in that insecurity, and that we would find healing. And it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.